Super. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is a book by Gary Cox, and this came up actually because the flight team, if you're on the flight team, this is like, oh my gosh, another review of the same book. Maybe you'll get some new aha moments, so stay with us today. But the flight team actually sent these books out to everybody who was on the flight team, and they did a book review, and they had Gary Cox do a two-hour kind of seminar on it, a webinar on it, and I gave you that link. It's the last announcement in the announcement page for today's call, so you can choose to, or is it the last link? No, it's not. Oh, where did you put the link, Lydia?
After the title of the book.
After the title of the book. Okay, right after the title of the book, she put the link. So you can go and link into that. It's not on my page. Oh, you must have added it after you gave me a draft. Okay. So you can go take a look and listen to him as well. If you don't want to read the book, I suggest you might do that. You might, you know, or listen to this call five times over again. But Gary gives you a lot more insight. I'm only spending about 40 minutes with you. He spent over 2 hours doing his webinar for the people. But what Gary Cox is talking about, you can't fillet a nibble. It's the catch that counts. Right? And his little byline, which is what really triggers what people, why people read books, his byline on the front cover of the book says, your guide to dramatically increasing your sales and creating the persistent mindset of a millionaire. That should attract you to Gary Cox. So when he talks about, let's jump in, when he talks about you can only fillet the catch, what is he talking about? Well, you and I both know about nibblers, because if you're out there when you have a list of contacts and you're connecting with them, and some people are on the, there are people that are standing on the fence, they're not sure, they tell you they might be interested, blah, 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 blah. Those are what we call the nibblers, right? But the reality is that without a true bite or fish in the boat, you're going to starve to death. So the idea for us is that we can't just be chasing the nibblers all the time. We've got to really focus on closing people and getting people to bite. And that's just important for us. The value, the nibbles, do they have a value in our life? Yes, when fish nibble, there's a value. Because why? Because there's some positive response to getting nibbles. We get a positive response from people. We get positive about our business. For those of us who fluctuate emotionally with the ups and downs of our business, which I suggest and Gary puts exclamation marks after, you got to quit doing. But there is a value to nibbles. It just brings you hope that there's a brighter future, that you're going to, you know, be able to close these people. And so that's the way to look at it. He says what we need to get is the guts of a burglar. Okay, I'm not sure I like this analogy, but it happens to be the one he chose in the book. And he talks about a burglar because why? What's a burglar like? He's a guy who's going to do anything. He's going to go do things and get results far beyond those of the average person because he's totally fearless, right? He doesn't stop until he gets what he wants. And that's why he draws this analogy to a burglar. You know, I think there are other people out there that don't stop till they get what they want. But what he's talking about is having this unrelenting persistence. And how many of us can claim that we have that today? Wow. I bet if I took a survey on this call, I probably would get less than 10%. And a lot of you are top builders in Manitowoc all over the country. But the idea is that, are we really exhibiting unrelenting persistence in our business? And so that's what it takes. If you want to really take this business to another level, you want to grow quickly, you want to get to national or executive or presidential, and you want to do it by manifest, you know what, people? It's all doable. It's all doable. And that's the first thing you got to say to yourself and believe. It's all doable. It's just a matter of choice. But it's a matter of choosing to change part of us, because this is all about self-development. This isn't about anything else than taking yourself and remaking self. Because we're going to find out today, what gets in our way of having this unrelenting persistence is what stops us from having the things we want in our life. And so it's kind of like when an obstacle presents itself for a burglar, when he comes up against an obstacle, it doesn't stop him. He just figures out, he goes through it, under it, over it, around it, whatever it takes to happen. And, you know, in that regard, burglars almost get addicted to the challenges. They love to go out and they take on different homes and different buildings and different things because it's always got to, it's like they get addicted to the challenge and to beat the system. And that's not, you know, I know it's a negative analogy, which I don't like about it, but the fact is that what are we doing around our Manatech business to beat the system? What are we doing? What are we doing out there to overcome the negativity or overcome this or overcome that or overcome what's in ourselves? You know, these are just obstacles that get in our way for being the best we can be and achieving the best possible results. So what are we doing to overcome them? Because the reality is we're not doing anything to overcome them. We're building excuses why not. And the only difference between you and somebody that's a millionaire, the mindset of a millionaire is different than your mindset, because millionaires have persistent mindsets. They're totally all in. Nothing stops. I look at myself and I go, you know, when I got involved in Manatech, and one of the reasons when you get involved in Manatech and you work with brand new people is you got to get their why really clear, right? Their clarity of their why. For this new 17-year-old I'm working with, his why is really clear. You know why? He doesn't want to go out and get a job because he is such a creative mind. He has 101 inventions that he has in his brain at all times. He's really bright, and he wants to just spend time working on inventing things. And he realizes at 17, he's not going to have the freedom to do that unless he has cash flow. And so he's trying to find a vehicle that's going to give him the flexibility to do what he really wants to do. And I said, are you willing to put in 2 to 5 years to do that? That's all it takes, 2 to 5 years. And then you're free, right? But you got to be dedicated all in. So you see, capturing his why was so critical, and that's what helps us. It helps us be more persistent because our why is so big that we're going to do it no matter what. Nothing's going to stop us. We're going to have that attitude that challenges, obstacles, problems, we eat for lunch. I mean, we eat them up, devour them, spit them out, no problem. Nothing can stop us. So you can't just be persistent. You must become it. It's a constant stuff. A lot of you, if you don't feel like you're 100% all in, persistent, constant, and I can say, I can even see myself sometimes when I'm doing Manatech and some things happen and I allow discouragement to enter in. That's not being 100% persistent. So we have to guard our minds. Don't let other things control our mindset. Master this mindset, and truly you'll achieve freedom. So being passive is a real problem. So we're going to talk about the mindsets of passive versus persistent and how they are so dramatically different, right? And you have a choice. You can be passive or you can be persistent. But passive is always a mindset that will mean you will be poorer. Always. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich if you're persistent. It just means that if you're passive versus persistent, you're always going to be poor being passive. Okay, getting beyond the nibble, let's talk about the second chapter of his book. Leads are critical to obtaining sales, right? But one of the problems is that there's a danger of irrational optimism. You know, people get a lot of nibbles and they get really optimistic about it, but the reality is one fish in the boat is worth how many nibbles in the water. And we don't want to focus on nibbles for too long, because what happens is when you start driving and all you're getting is nibbles, the excitement around the nibble actually starts dissipating. And we tend to focusing all our time on nibbles, wasting our time. How many of you had the Uncle Elmo story in your own life where you went after Uncle Elmo and it took you 6 months, 12 months to get Uncle Elmo and you still haven't signed him up? Finally, you just finally bought the products for him. Think of all the people you could have signed up and could have been driving your business in that 12-month period, but you wanted to focus on Uncle Elmo. You get it? So you really got to get focused on people that are going to make a difference in your business. Work with those who want to work. Those who want to play or those who are just doing it as a hobby, you know what? Great. I love them, and I love them coming to Manifest, and I love them being a part of them. But you know what? The people I want to coach and I want to work with are people that are saying, I'm all in. This is my goal. This is my commitment. And when you only have 5 people of your organization that set goals for 2016, now you're really clear on who are the 5 people you're going to work with for 2016. Make sense? Because they're the ones that are going to drive the business. They're going to drive the business. Other people not committed? That's their, you know, that's the one of the luxuries of network marketing. It's an upside and a downside that you're going to have people that do it as a hobby, and that's okay. I don't make hobbyists wrong. It's just, where is my time spent? It's about you as a leader. Where are you spending your time to drive your business? So And then what other happens is when you keep getting continuous nibbles, why are they irrational optimism or why are they a problem? What's the false hope that you get? Well, you start, after a while, you start questioning yourself. You start questioning, all I can do is get people nibbles. I never get a catch. And when it's the catch that counts. So we need to change our mindset around nibble versus catch, if otherwise you'll quit. So when you call and get a yes, you get excited about calling, and then you call. So there's exhilaration there. But when you get to the no's, the reverse happens. And we know that when we're going to get no more no's than yeses. Excuse me. In fact, it's one of the first things I teach a brand new associate coming into my organization. Be ready for the no's. Your average is going to be out of 10 people, you're going to get 8 no's. So when you get a no, just be ecstatic because you're closer to a yes, instead of allowing it to ever take anything away from you and rob you of joy or your commitment or your belief that this is your vehicle. So mindset is really critical. If we don't get that into our head, we get 4 or 5 no's, and then we start getting discouraged and blah, blah, blah. Call your upline. Get somebody in your upline who's got it down pat, who understands this, who can give you the encouragement and help you get off of your duff so you don't get stuck. You know how many people quit network marketing? And I truly believe inside of me, network marketing works for everybody except for those who quit. But some people linger in it for a long time because they just choose not to work on their mindset, because it is all about mindset. That's what barrels you through. It's not you finding the perfect associate. It's about formulating a mindset of persistence and success, keeping your why in front of you on a daily basis, and eating challenges and problems for lunch, because they're going to happen, right? So what do we do with our story? We want to rewrite our story. Sorry, I see a typo in there. Rewire our story. We want to rewrite our story. And stop creating a negative story by stop creating a negative story, right? That sounds funny, but that's it. We create stuff. We allow our minds to start getting involved in self-talk and creating emotional drags on us. In fact, some of you on the phone today might be in one of those spots. Or some of you on the phone today might be going, Mary Jo, the only reason I listen to you every Monday morning is because you're so hyped up and excited and you rejuvenate me. You take me out of that negative spot and trigger me to move forward. That's great. I'm saying continue to do it, because you want to find things that trigger you to get out of that negative mindset or the negative self-talk. So you have to be careful of watching what kind of self-talk, what kind of languaging comes into your head anytime something bad happens in your life. And for some of us, you know, it was just second nature. I was such, as Lydia said when she started working for me, she goes, Mary Jo, I've never met anyone who had that philosophy. And I said, what philosophy? And she said, you have the philosophy, anything bad happens, you look at it, you evaluate it, you get over it, you come from solution, and then you go NEXT. And I go, well, what's wrong with that? And she was like, she just marveled over it because she had never seen it in all her 30-some years of life. And I said, well, that's a sad thing that people don't grab onto that philosophy more frequently, because you can never do anything about your past. You can only create a better today. So why not pour all your energy into creating a better today than pushing on your past? And that's really what Gary's talking about here, is that, you know, when we go out there and we get a bunch of no's, we tend to fall into a trap about the past instead of realizing that the no's are catapulting us closer to yeses. And that's one of the reasons we want to put time and energy into being on the Saturday trainings and understanding the 4 core principles, so we become an expert at the 4 core, right? So 3 key ingredients to mastering persistence. Are these important for all of us to understand? Absolutely. If you focus on these 3 things, your income will dramatically increase and you will achieve your goals quicker. How's that for a guarantee from Gary Cox? He writes that in his book. I quoted him right out of his book. I totally agree with him. Why? Because these 3 things are critical, right? And so to be more persistent, you have to first understand why you're not persistent. What's stopping you? And he says there are 3 things. Number one, we get stuck in being concerned about what other people think. And our ego sucks us out of our humility. So what happens is people say things to us, and we are so egotistical in some ways that we quit being humble and then we lose track of that. Or number 2, most of the time when people say something to us, And it's, if it's anything derogatory or anything in any way, shape, or form that can be interpreted that way, we get depressed. We go down south. We turn a different direction. We immediately start giving up. We go on a path of, oh, my gosh, they don't like me, or they're not going to do all this kind of stuff. We make stuff up. MSUs, you're going to see that throughout the outline later, too. MSUs, I look at people and I go, why are you making stuff up? I was coaching a woman yesterday, and you know what? She just sat in front of me and started, and I go, that's not true. And she goes, well, I think that's what's going to, and I go, you're making stuff up. I said, why don't we just talk about truth? Why don't we talk about what actually is? Start with just what is true. What's an absolute that you can put down on a piece of paper? Boy, you know how much her conversation changed? All the drama was gone because we like to make stuff up. And we do the same thing when people tend to say no to us or make a derogatory comment or something. All of a sudden, it's about us. And I'm going to suggest to you, get the book. I just bought another one and contributed it to another person's life. It's one of my fastest books I hand out from my library. That's why I run out all the time. It's What Other People Think of Me is None of My Business by Terry Cole Whitaker. It's a great book. If you're stuck in this area, get out of it. You know, and you go, well, Mary Jo, what other people should matter to you? I go, other people matter immensely to me, but what they think about me doesn't matter to me. I love other people. I love to pour in their lives. I love to contribute. I love to open up doors for them to have better health, greater wealth, be more, have a more meaningful existence, contribute more from my perspective into the Christian world, right? I just love all of that. I love to have that impact on people's lives. So I love people. But if they don't like Mary Jo, it's okay, because they're going to be people that don't like me. It doesn't make me look at myself and say, oh, you're a bad person, or you can't do this. It doesn't discourage me from a perspective of starting to question Mary Jo. I love getting feedback. If I get feedback, people I can take it and say, well, maybe they have a good suggestion for me to help me be better. But if somebody just doesn't like me for whatever reason, you know what? That's their prerogative. It's okay. So it's not a problem with this gal. But if it's a problem for somebody on the phone today, you got to take action to overcome that, or it will forever be a problem for you. And you will be like a blade of grass. When the wind blows to the right direction, you're okay. When it blows in the wrong direction, you're not okay. And you're going to have this up and down and roller coaster existence because you're allowing other people to control your emotions. Stop it. Declare it and stop it. Number two, you don't have enough value or belief in one of two things, because two and three are very similar. You don't have enough value and belief in yourself, and you don't have enough value and belief in your products. Because if you have a doubt in any of those two areas, guess what happens to your persistence? It's gone. Because why are you going to be persistent about something you don't believe in? Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, for me to have maximum persistence about Manatech, I got to really get it. And I get it because I get messages all the time. This past week, I got a text from my brother-in-law who's been fighting serious stuff for 4.5 years. And he listened to me for a month 2 years ago, took the products for 30 days, and then quit because they didn't make a difference. Really? Right? You get this? But, you know, there's only so much you can teach people. Even some of the best who think they're some of the best in this company, as I do in terms of getting people started, convincing them to stay on for 6 months, you still come up against tough cookies, right? Supreme analysts, they're going to have it their way. And I got that, talked to him at Christmas time, and he said he's going to try it again, and I opened up his eyes to the fact that he was becoming a toxic dump with all the drugs he was on. So he went and made some, made a meeting with his doctor, and he was ready to, he said, Lord, I said, Lord, if you're going to take me home, if I get off this drug, then take me home, but I can't continue to putting these toxins in my body. This is a guy who wouldn't even consider talking to me about nutrition 4 years ago, right? So he started getting off his drugs, and he got back on the Optimal Support Packs and the Amber Toast products. And he called me last week, and you know what his message was? These have been the best 4 days of the last 5 years of my life. Wow. Are you kidding? You get it, people. So I don't have a problem with belief in the products. I don't know about you, but I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it. But you got to grow into it. And that's why we have the belief scale. You guys, I think Lydia added it to this outline. So take this belief scale. One of the reasons we have the belief scale and we hand it out to people is we have to find out where is your weakness, where is your shortfall. You need to know so that you can build on that so that you can be persistent as all get out. Because if your belief isn't there, guess what? The rest won't happen. So you want to make sure it'll give you more self-confidence. You're going to be up there. You're going to be in a realm where you don't get stuck in this making stuff up. When people don't call you back, you know, oh, they probably didn't want it anyway. Well, probably wouldn't have worked for them. Well, I'm not sure it would have worked for them. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, come on. What a bunch of garbage we feed ourselves. And it happens. Just start using MSU. Look at your life every day and listen to things you say or the little thoughts that go through your head and go, oh, man, that was really good, that MSU I just made up, right? We make stuff up. We rationalize. We come up with excuses. Oh, and this guy, trust me, Gary Cox hates excuses. Excuses will get you nowhere in life. If that's where you want to be, nowhere, you're on the right track if you keep using excuses. He also has something called the Use Common Sense, UCS principle. Never allow your customer to call you back. That's his philosophy. So those of you on this call today are going, you know what, I called this guy, left 4 messages, he never calls me back. You know what Gary says? He shouldn't. You should be continuing to call him. Your customer is a high priority to you. You're typically not a high priority to them. And you keep that in mind, guess what? You're persistent. Now, I gave you the little trick in one of my calls one time where I say, you know what, Sarah, when I first met you, I read you as an incredibly responsible person. I was so looking forward to doing business with you, and somehow I've been leaving messages, and I'm never getting a return. So now you've got me really worried that, did you get in an accident? Have you gotten hurt? Is something wrong? Please call me back and just let me know. I'd leave that. But that usually triggers a response. It's a great way if you really feel like you want to trigger a response from somebody, do that. But notice how I lifted her up in the call. I didn't leave a message. You know what, Sarah, this is the fifth time I've called you, and you must be really irresponsible because da-da-da-da, and you probably don't want my business opportunity anyway, but I'm just telling you, about, and you hang up the phone. And somehow you go, well, but Mary Jo, it made me feel good. I go, wow, where's that coming from? I want you to dig down deep inside of you and figure that one out. Because that's really sad. When you call and abuse somebody that somehow it makes you feel better, ooh, you got some big self-development work to do around that. No one deserves that. No one. No one. People deserve love, and they deserve your attention, and they deserve to have the best life they could have. But they have to be willing to grab onto it and take it. And you have the vehicle to open that door to them. So how exciting is that, right? So anyway, so back to persistence. So, you know, use common sense with your customers. Be gracious with them. Regarding the other two reasons you won't be persistent, again, don't value it enough. And I talked about the belief scale being attached. We also let other opinions rob us of our beliefs and ourselves or our products. We see changes at Manitech and we go, oh, my gosh, they changed the comp plan. Oh, now I can't make as much money. Are you kidding me? You're going to make twice as much money. This comp plan changes that are coming out are going to help you in such a huge way, it's not even funny. So what fun is that going to be? But we'd love to make stuff up. We don't even know about things and we're making stuff up, right? It's how do you master those feelings? You want to be aware of negative thoughts and have an inbuilt response to them. You want to be able to tell your brain, are you ready? I don't like these words, but I'm going to say them real quickly. Shut up. Okay? Tell that mind frame, just be quiet. I'm not listening to you. I love it when I talk to some people and they start going in that direction. I go like this. Take your hands and go wah, 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 wah with your mouth and just hit your hands, palms against your ears. Wah, 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 and see if you can't dissipate the noise that you're listening to in your brain. Get rid of it. Control your mind. Train your brain to be mentally tough. So how can you do that? There's ways of doing that. You want to push yourself and test yourself. The more negativity, the more derogatory things that come along, what happens? The more you get tested. And the more you get tested and tried and true, guess what? You become stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's why looking for challenges and going after challenges is a great way to develop that character, that tough mindset, because that's what you need to have. When you look at passive versus persistent, and And well, let's talk about one more thing, too, that a lot of people talk about, like, how do I take myself from being sad? You know, if we get in a sad mood, if somebody, you know, calls us and gives us negative news about our business and we go in sad. And you know, some people say, oh, just grab onto it and act happy. Just start doing jumping jacks and act happy and just be happy. And the problem with that kind of concept is that we've been trained first and foremost, probably as a little kid, not to lie. And so we find ourselves saying, well, I can't lie to myself, right? So the more important way to do it is to push through these issues, right? Push through, because usually the course of least resistance when you experience negative emotion or feeling is to reward it, right? We reward it. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But it's normally what we tend to do. It's kind of common human reaction. But what we want to do instead is push through it. It's grab onto it, source it, say, you know what, this is crazy. Why am I making stuff up? Why am I going this direction? Work through it, right, to get to the point where we no longer reward a negative feeling, but we try to do the opposite of how we're feeling, right? We're trying to go the other way. We want to get rid of what are the things that are negative to us. People saying, I don't have money. They didn't like it or whatever. And when people say no, we start making stuff up about why they said no. Get out of that realm, push through it, and understand the numbers and move on. But don't let anyone rob your belief or your passion for this business. Okay, the difference between passive and persistent, chapter 4, two choices in attacking your goals. You can attack your goals passively or persistently. And there are a lot of passive people in Manatech today. And I suspect some of you on the phone are going, Mary Jo, I'm one of those. And that's okay. You can admit to it. And the most important thing you do is you get really clear on your reality, because that's the only time you can start moving in a different direction, right? If you keep lying to yourself about being persistent, even though you only talked to one person in the last 3 weeks, you know, I'm sorry. I can't help you if you're going to be in denial. You've got to be, hey, this is where I am. I'm passive about my Manatech business, yet I want to produce incredible results. Well, he says there's negative side effects of each one, whether you're passive or persistent. If you're passive, you can keep tell yourself, I'm passive and I will be poor. And just keep saying that, I will be poor, because that's what you're doing. Until you say, I'm sick and tired of being poor. I want to be wealthy. I want to have unlimited income. Well, then you're going to choose persistent. But what's this negative side effect of persistence? You're going to tick some people off because you're going to be so persistent. You're not going to give up. You're going to be like a pit bulldog. You're going to put your teeth into things, and you're not going to let it go. You're going to be an overcomer. When things happen, you're not going to go wallow in misery. You're going to overcome. You're going to always look at, how can I make this better? What can today look like? I don't have to worry about what yesterday did. I can look at what's today going to look like. Be an overcomer. Right? It's funny that he said the analogy. He said, you know, if your neighbors' houses were on fire, you would be out there at 2 in the morning knocking on their doors. Hey, get up, bro, 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. You'd be waking them all up, right? You need to develop that similar passion, fever, value, and belief in your life as well. Why aren't you pounding on your door every day because the fire's burning? It's time to do something. Or are you going to wait till 2017 because a month has gone by and la-da-da-da-da and you're making up excuses and, well, but Mary Jo, somebody in my family died or da-da-da-da-da or blah-blah-blah-blah-blah or this person said no and they were really important. They were going to be my mess barn burner, so I don't know. I've got to wait a few months to recover from that. La-da-da-da. Oh, my gosh, the stories and the drama that we put out there. Enough already. Next, there's nothing holding you back except you. So clear it. Be that committed. Think about the house burning. How committed are you and passionate are you to make a difference? Have that same fever, value, belief. Just choose it. It's in you. Choose it. Then chapter 5, he talked about, are you smart or are you stupid? Marketing 101. Don't you love this guy's words? I mean, he's pretty tough, right? He's pretty tough. He loves to talk about stupid. Words that, again, I wouldn't necessarily use, but we want to be smarter, right? We want to be smart about marketing. So play games on your mind instead of letting your mind play games on you, Very doable, right? How many of you believe you can control your mind? If you don't believe that, then you better start learning that you can. Your mind is something you can control. Absolutely can. So it's how you feed your mind. When you feed your mind good stuff, when you feed your mind persistence, when you feed your mind I'll do or die, when you feed your mind I have the fever as if my house is the house is burning down, when you feed that to your mind, guess what? Your mind starts working on it. But you reprogram your mind because some of you have some stuff that's programmed in there that's really deep. You got to flush it out. And the way you flush it out is you replace it. Some of you want to go, well, I want to lay on the psychologist's couch for the next 2 years to help me to get through this. Just replace it. Programming is taking one program and replacing it with something else. You have a negative program, replace it with positive. Find out what your negative program is. Just listen to yourself on a daily basis. You'll see stuff pop up. And when you grab onto it, you go, wow, where is that coming from? How can I rephrase that and retrain my subconscious? Because your subconscious doesn't think on its own. It goes like this. You say to it, I am a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner. I'm a presidential at Manitech, I'm a presidential at Manitech. You know what your subconscious is saying? Okay, okay, okay. That's what it says. So you're just feeding it. Why doesn't it work when you do that? Because you allow the other baggage. When it pops up, you buy into it again instead of saying, huh, you're gone because I'm a presidential, I'm a presidential, I'm a presidential. See it? You got to release it. Let it go. Let it go. Displacement. The things that are better. So if you're mailing out cards, let's say you're doing marketing and you're mailing out cards, is it more important to mail out 1,000 cards? Is it smart to mail out 1,000 cards one time or 100 cards 10 times? And he says, it's smart to mail out 100 cards 10 times. It's stupid to mail out 1,000 cards one time. And how many of us do the one-time routine? A lot of us, because we wait for people to get back to us. When in reality, we already know all the sales statistics. And he puts them forth in his book, I don't know that we have time to run through all those statistics, but he talks about how many touches it takes to close a deal. And when you know the statistic, it's not mail out 1,000 cards one time. You're going against every single statistic on how sales are closed, right? And all of you know that. It's something like 3 to 5 touches before you sign somebody up. So if you only send out a one touch, guess what happens? You can expect to be a failure because you're creating it. You're going against all sales statistics. And here's some statistics right off the page. 48% of salespeople never follow up with a prospect. Is that you on this call? How many of you have people that you've never followed up with because you made stuff up? Oh. Or they looked at you funny? Oh, or they weren't the right person for your organization anyway. Why not? Anyone who can swallow is the right person for my organization. Whether I want to work with them as a business builder might be another story, but you know what? If they can swallow a product, they're a person for my organization because consumers are critical. 25% of salespeople make a second contact and stop. But only 10% of salespeople make more than 3 contacts. And now you got those statistics, right? 48% never follow up, 25% make a second contact and stop, only 10% make more than 3 contacts. Let me give you the statistics on where sales are made. 2% of sales are made on first contact. So the people that never follow up, they have an opportunity only to close 2%, 2 out of 100 of the people they talk to. So no wonder they're depressed and they think Manitech doesn't work. 3% of sales are made on the second contact. Oh, that's the additional. 48% never follow up. 25% make a second contact and stop. So now they have an opportunity to close 5%, 5 out of 100 people. And we're up to 73% of all salespeople either never follow up or only make one stop after the second contact. You get it? So they get the 73% get 5% of the sales. That's crazy. 80% of sales are made on the 5th to 12th contact. Wow. So what are you doing in your business to convince yourself that you don't need to follow up, right? Fortunes in a follow-up. There's a reason we use that language. So if you have all your leads on one piece of paper, you don't have enough leads. I totally agree. I think everybody, in fact, that's the homework. My 17-year-old, I just gave him a stack of papers from Eric Worre on building a contact list. I said, you're going to read this weekend and you're going to build a contact list and don't come back to me unless you have at least 500 to 1,000. And he's a homeschooled kid. He doesn't go to school. He's a homeschooled. Got it? So we'll see what he comes up with. I'll give you updates next week. But those are important things, right? It's important. You want to build a big list. We know why we build a big list, and the why for that doesn't change. You can't recreate how a network marketing works. You live within the framework of how it works and do it, or choose to be ineffective. That's a choice you can make as well. So we need to have more leads. We need to have a lead system. Where are we getting leads from? Right now my group is, we got a China team that's working on the Chinese because we know we're opening China in the next 2 to 3 years. So we're going to start getting as many people from China that are here in the United States signed up. So we have a huge group doing that. We have a new movement in the Hispanic marketplace. We have Fat Flesh for Life. We've got youth still going on with the machine. We got a lot of platforms to develop leads, but we're using all of them. So, right? Amen to that. We want to keep doing that. So we don't want to be in a mindset that's wrong. We want to be persistent with what we do. We want to, if you listen to self-talk, you'll have 100% chance of failure. Disobey your self-talk and reach your goals. That's what we want to do. So, and that's why we keep reprogramming our brain so eventually the self-talk is gone. Will there always be a sense of sometimes, because we're going to be in a feeling our feelings, our emotions get involved, and sometimes our body just says we're ready to shut down. That can happen. But getting away from all the self-talk, there's nothing in my brain that ever tells Mary Jo that I can't do this. There's nothing in my brain that ever says I can't be a platinum presidential, ever. I can be whatever I choose to be. What my brain says is then choose it and go make it happen. That's what my brain tells me, right? And that's what you want your brain to tell you. So you want to make sure you're countering all those negative thoughts. Always get back. He said, when you have a negative conversation on the phone, immediately get back on the phone. Never allow someone to rob you of your energy and drive you to accomplish your dreams. Don't ever allow, don't give the power away to anyone or anything that happens. And, you know, if somebody got mad at you or something like that, you get back to them and you say, I'm sorry I upset you. You just be, you know what I mean? We're all about what? Being convicted to accomplishing what we've set out to accomplish. You're worthy of your goals. Now go after and get them. But you can't let things stop you. Don't let things drag you down. And he just gave some ideas, and I put some down there about never using excuses. Have respectful comebacks, right? You know? It's always about removing friction in a relationship because no matter what happens in a relationship, you can always be the one that, what, apologizes. Even, and you go, well, I can't apologize, Mary, because I didn't do anything wrong. Well, that arrogance and ego in you would probably get you nowhere. But the idea is that I can apologize because I can feel sorry that whatever I did had an impact on you. I'm sorry when people are offended by me. I may not be sorry for what I did, but I'm sorry that that's the impact my actions had on someone else, because that's not my goal in life. So apologizing is not about admitting you're wrong. Just make sure you put yourself in that realm so that there's a sensitivity there that allows the conversation to move forward. The mindset of true persistence is chapter 6. He talked about the whole concept of compounding, and we talked about the penny doubled every day for 30 days or $1 million. Well, you know you're going to have like $5 or $10 million in 1 month if you get a penny doubled every day for 30 days. So it's the value of compound interest, compounding effect, right? And efforts to be persistent will have the same value. When you're persistent today and you're persistent tomorrow and you're persistent the next day, guess what happens? There's a compounding effect of your persistence. It's not just about achieving one thing. It's about watch what happens to your world. So make persistent be a top word. Maybe you type that on your computer screen and you have that as a background. It's about being persistent and watch the compound effect of it. And multiple strategies should be utilized. In his book, he talks about not just calling people but sending out cards, personal visits, gifts, all the types of things. So he has, I loved his idea. Here's an idea for you guys. You know, when you find out somebody's, you know, not talking to you, he found a really cute picture of a puppy that's just adorable that people would just look at and just like melt. And he sends that. He'll send a picture of a puppy and he goes, is there a reason you're ignoring me? You know, something like that. And people will laugh. It brings people into a limelight. It changes their mindset from hearing from you. Instead of it all being business, it still is business, but there's a cute tone to it. Our social media aptitude today allows us to do so many of these great things. We couldn't do that on our dial-up phone in the past, but today we can do those kind of things, right? Cost is an issue only in the absence of value. So if you're talking about cost all the time, then you're talking about you're not putting value on what you're doing. So if there's value there, then the price is willing to pay. Always keep your 100 time TEMS going. In other words, you should have 100 people in the mix where you're connecting with them 10 times, all the time. And I don't have that going on right now, but after reading this book, I'm really putting myself in a position. It may not be 100, maybe it'll be 50. Whatever it is, I'm going to make it happen, that I have X number always in the pipeline. Because it's when that pipeline dries up and everything, then things stop happening. You know, 1 week this period, business period, the first week of the business period, I signed up 4 people. My pipeline was full. Last week I didn't sign up. Well, I helped other people because I was out on the road for 3 days doing that. But I personally didn't sign anyone up. So I'm going, okay, where's my pipeline? Let's get it going again. And that's what Lydia and I are dedicated to do. So we got a whole new work ethic this week about that pipeline. So we need to consistently have people in that pipeline. And we always want to be transferring value to people. We transfer the value by them, through them, so that we make sure people perceive the value. Sometimes it requires thinking outside the box, but that's what we need to do. No matter how nasty or rude a person is to you, you kill them with kindness. I always love that. And I love to hear, I put a quote in there from his book. This also helps eliminate the barnacles and the emotional drag that attaches to us mentally with all the no's we get. So kill them with kindness, absolutely important. Sometimes to get when we have somebody we can't get to, maybe there's a way we can relay. There's somebody else that, if there's really a target market we have, maybe there's a creative way we can get to that person in an indirect direction. We find people that they know, that we know that they know, or other people that they know that there might be an influence in them. Always want to take advantage. When you have valuable leads, you don't just dismiss it because you don't have a direct route to them. There's other ways of getting to that person. And then finally, his last chapter was about laying down the law. You can't handle the truth. What is this about? If someone fails to call you back, leave a message that's straightforward. In other words, don't, you know, if you don't call them back, that's one of the reasons why people don't follow up, because they can't handle the truth. They can't handle somebody saying no. They can't handle rejection. They don't want to hear it. So they start making it up that that's what's going to happen, when you don't even know that's going to happen. But you got to be able to handle the truth. You got to be able to handle the no's. You got to be able to handle the rejection, because it's going to happen. What do they say? Out of 10 people that you contact, the maximum you'll sign up is 2? And sometimes people get better at that than that. But I mean, there's people out there. That big circle taught me a huge lesson when they taught me, like, 65% of people aren't even, they're not looking, and they don't care about what you have. They don't care about changing their life. And all you have to do is look at our society, and you know that's true, right? What you're looking for are people that want to change their life. Like my new 17-year-old he's so driven, it's amazing, because he's clear on what he wants. And he found a vehicle to do that. And that's what network marketing presented, because there's no other vehicle in the world that's going to pay him that kind of residual income, right? And be something he can put 2 to 5 years in, and bingo, he's exactly where he wants to be, and now he can fulfill his dreams with all the inventions he has in his head that he wants to do. Yeah, great. Super. So call some people back. And hello, Bob, this is Mary Jo. I've been quite unsuccessful in making contact with you again. I know you're busy, but I am also not sure whether you're even getting my messages. Could you at least give me the courtesy of letting me know if you're interested in continuing our conversation by texting or leaving me a message? This way I won't be wasting both of our times. Thanks so much. Chat soon. That's a simple. I gave you the language. And some of you have my language, too, that I use sometimes. I'll call people. And I'll call somebody and I'll say, you know, I gave that earlier when I said, hey, you haven't been calling me back. And you know what? When we first met, I value you. You are a responsible human being. You're determined. You have all the manners in the world. And knowing that you haven't called me back, I'm worried now that maybe something happened to you. So that typically generates a response as well. But you got to be able to face it. Be in there. And sometimes when we find, we find somebody else, finding a mole, he talked about that, and when I apply it to network marketing, it's kind of like finding leads and getting other people that they can talk to them and say, you know what, if you can get a hold of this person, I'll put them underneath you. I love to do that. That sometimes incentivizes people to go after people I don't have connection with, but they do. And I say, listen, get a hold of this person. I'll do the close. I'll work with the person, and if I get them involved, I'll put them underneath you. That at least opens up that opportunity to get that person closed, whereas the other person may not be approaching them because they're intimidated by them, right? And he also talked more about leaving cute Texas. Again, it was really funny. I said he had a picture of a guy who fell asleep with a baby goat. So here's a guy with asleep with a baby goat. And he sends it out to people he met and can't get through to and with a note. He says, "So, Bill, are you saying we're not a good match?" And he'll have that picture of the guy sleeping with a billy goat. You know, so when you can make people laugh, you're much more likely to get a response out of them. So Gary has collected like 70 pictures, and all of us can do that. There's billions of pictures on the internet, right? We can collect them in like a little picture bank where we can put little cute notes on them, and that's how we follow up with people. When you're having a hard time getting in touch with people, why not? Use something that's fun. Being relentlessly persistent can be fun if you're creative. I love that, and he's absolutely right about that. So get creative with it. He even gets creative with you know, he does campaigns, mailing campaigns. He'll go out and get a closeout deal on stress balls or something, and he'll mail all those out saying, "Stressed out about losing money in a challenging economy? You know, contact me." You know, so you can come up with ideas like that that are inexpensive for the most part and will trigger and give people a good laugh or have fun with it, enjoy it, so it makes it fun for you as well. So that's about it. That kind of reviews the book. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got some good ideas out of it and maybe ideas about yourself, what you need to work on, maybe some new ideas on how to follow up, how to commit to people and contact them and, you know, new commitment for you in terms of who's on your list, your active contact list. But one of the quotes I put at the bottom was really important to me as well as I read through the book. It was, if you don't have a vision and you're not relentlessly persistent, you will get results that reflect exactly that. So my vision for all of you is that you all walk across stage as presidential directors or beyond. That's my vision for you. I don't know what your vision is, but that's my vision for you. And I just pray that you step into that relentless persistence that it takes to really make this happen. It's about us stepping into it and just saying, you know what, it's a new year, let's make it happen. GoPro, as Eric Worre would say, and achieve the success that you're so deserving of. Okay, that's it, people. Any questions before we go? Wow, that hit almost 11 o'clock on the dot. Woo! Anyone, any questions, comments? Did you find something good out of the book? Or I should say the book review. Okay, everyone. I'll let y'all go. Love y'all. Have a great week. Don't forget Revive. Don't forget the upcoming training on Saturday. And put those words, relentless persistence, somewhere on your computer, on your desk, as your mantra. Let's make it happen together. Okay, you guys, love you all. Have a great week. Bye.